Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hazrat Maulana Ismail Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is the father of Hazrat Maulana Yahya Sahib. And the glorious era of this family starts from Maulana Ismail Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And how it had commenced was, there was a very pious woman in the ancestry of Mawla Yahya Sahib, known as Ummi Bi. And the Ma'mulat, Zikr, Tilawat used to be such that I think in this day there may hardly be a man that can cope at the level that she was doing. Nearly every day she used to be doing 40 siparas. One khatam and 10. If she was not reminded to eat, then she didn't find the need to eat as well. So the ma'mulat, zikr, etc. was at a different level. There was some function, perhaps a wedding or something, and Mawlana Ismail Sahib Rahmatullahi was called to deliver a talk. She made out that this person here, he's not only well-versed, but spiritually he's very high. Right. Some aspects of spirituality are concealed, people don't know, right? And sometimes certain things become known. Right. Some things are not known, in spite of the position and the maqam of the person, but you can't make out at what level he is. One person is sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi ala sahibiha wa alayhi salatu wassalam, and he's got his head buried into his thighs. So someone is telling him, by this Muhaddis Abdul Razak, he's relating hadith here, why don't you join up? So the person didn't move, he had his head still buried into his thighs. And he says, that people, that crowd, is hearing from Abdul Razak, and I am listening directly to Razak. I'm, in other words, getting inspired from Allah Ta'ala directly. And they got an intermediary. So this person says, all right, seems like spiritually you are quite high. So, can you tell me who I am? So he, for the moment, just for 1 second, he just raised his head and he put his head down again. And he says, فِرَاسَةَ السَّحِيحَ هُو تو تُمْ خِزَر هُو. If my insight is right, then you are خِزَر. So خِزَر alayhi salam says at this point, that they are those servants that I also don't recognize, in spite of my maqam and my position, but I don't recognize them. So, it doesn't mean that every person recognizes every person. That those that are concealed, and they as though express the sifat of batin. After all, the world is a place, It's a mazhar of the sifat, where the attributes of Allah Ta'ala are reflected. See it in different people, different creations. The sifat of Allah Ta'ala, the attributes of Allah Ta'ala are reflected. So some, they reflect the batin, and some reflect the zahir. They become known, people know about them, but they recognize them. So both type of servants you will get. One is that category which are recognized and known, and one Allah Ta'ala prefers to keep them concealed. In fact, most the servants, Allah Ta'ala keeps them concealed. There are few that are then exposed. They like to remain concealed, they are free to do, and the relationship is just with Allah Ta'ala. And when the relationship is just with Allah Ta'ala, then the fear of showing off, pride, etc., to a certain extent, to a certain point, we are safe from that. As exposed to when you are known. When you are known, now you have to be careful about your niyat. You can't get caught into ostentation and show and all that. Bayezid Bustami Rahmatullahi, his halat, they say, that in the morning he got up and his mind is telling him that you tumta bakhilo, you are a very stingy person, very miserly person. So he says to his mind, no, no, I think you're misreading me, I'm not miserly. So the mind tells him, all right, let's throw a challenge at you to see if you are miserly or not. You see, you've got this bag of 40 dinars, 40 gold coins. Then the first deserving person you'll find in the morning, you will give it away to him. So, all right, the deal is on. So he read his Fajr namaz, and as he walked out of the masjid, now he sees one hafiji. Hafiji normally refers to a blind person. Because up to the time we were in India, in the urban and surrounding, every blind person was a hafiz. So it became, a blind person became synonymous to hafiji. Any blind person is hafiji. So he saw this hafiji having a haircut. So now this person must be the right person, right recipient of my money. You see, he's blind, he's having a haircut, he doesn't have very pleasant clothes. So he may be the right recipient. So he went up to him and he says to that hafiji, this 40 dinars for you. So the hafiji tells him, all right, you brought the money at the right time. Just give it to the baba, the person that is trimming my hair. So now he's reminding the hafiji, hafiji, you know what? This is not one dirham or 1 cent or something. It's 40 gold coins. For a haircut, you just need one silver coin, right? That is 10 parts of a gold coin. And this is now 40 dinars, 40 gold coins. So the hafiji still got his head down and he's having his haircut. So the hafiji is saying to Bayezid Bustami Rahmatullah Alayhi, humne kaha nahi tha ki tum bakhil ho. Didn't we say that you are a stingy person? So he says he felt so miserable, quite embarrassed. You know? He felt, no, I don't have it in me. And here the hafiji picked it up. Okay, you got that miserliness, stinginess in you. Anyway, he went and offered it to the baba, thinking that the baba is a big amount, the baba will readily accept it. So the baba, when he saw that, he says, no, no. See, the moment this hafiji came into my shop for the haircut, I made a niyat that I will do it purely for Allah Ta'ala. So in tikro ki wajah se, main apne niyat ko kharab nahi karta hun. For this dirt, I am not going to spoil my niyat. My niyat was purely for Allah Ta'ala. Imagine he will earn that in a whole year, 40 gold coins. But when he made his niyat, then he didn't want to contaminate that niyat. The niyat is pure for Allah Ta'ala. I've done it for him, let it be for him now. Although this amount is such, it will take me an entire year to rake up this amount of money. But no, I don't want to spoil my niyat. He says, I felt so miserable, so embarrassed I felt. Then I went and threw that money. And I said, Khuda naas kare usku, jo isku apne dil se laga de. May Allah Ta'ala destroy that person who attaches this to his heart. So we're talking of some awliya such, okay, they get known. Allah Ta'ala exposes them. And some are such, okay, Allah Ta'ala keeps them concealed, keeps them under the wraps. In fact, many are those, or most are those, that are concealed and people don't know them. So nonetheless, we're talking of Mawlana Ismail Sahib, and he came to deliver the talk here. And this Ummi Bi, that is this pious woman, she made out that this person is a pious person. In Urdu, there is an idiom, they say. They use an idiom. Uske pair ke upar zinjeer bandhna chahiye. Bas chain him up now. Uske pair mein zinjeer bandhna chahiye. Chain him up. In other words, tie him up to the family so that we get all the blessings. So I can see, she's saying, I can see this family is not like what it's supposed to be. Right? Once upon a time it was going very high. And now, we're seeing it not going in that way like it used to be going. So we need to have one head, a pious person. This pious person will come in and he will motivate, he will push the family through. You know, he will encourage his piety, people will see the virtue. And as it is, people are looking for someone. They're looking for someone and he's within the family, so we've got a push already. We've got a great start we've got. So she made the proposal. Normally the proposal comes from the boys' end. Here it was the other end. She made the proposal for her granddaughter for this person here. The meanwhile, there's a big age difference, 25, 30 years age difference perhaps. And some of the family people are objecting, okay, did you consider the age difference? Ek baat nahi suni. She didn't listen to anything. She knew what she was doing. Sane, understanding. And why she's doing all this, she knows it. So she doesn't need to go and compromise and make a story here and there, whatever. She knows what she's doing. In the meanwhile, she had that type of influence in the family. Whatever she said, it goes. But sincerity is what happens. When you're doing something for Allah Ta'ala, then you don't worry about the backlash so much. Because you know it's for Allah Ta'ala, for a good reason. And inshallah, they'll be good in what we are doing. So the good started in this family, in this manner here. Ismail Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, and then the work at Miwat and all to whatever. Right? So this family had that type of righteousness, virtue. And apart from righteousness and virtue, they wanted to encourage, bring people, you know. Not just keep that virtue to yourself, but give it out. Encourage others, bring them up. Hence you'll find, in the same family you'll find, or Ismail Sahib and then his children, right? They stationed somewhere in perhaps Nizamuddin or Delhi, wherever they are stationed. And they're getting this poor Mewatis, the working class, coming through to Delhi for work purposes. Like how you get people, informal workers, coming for work purposes. So they're coming through for work purposes. Now, they could make out that these people are, they don't know Deen. And they're getting more and more furthered away from Deen. In the meanwhile, it's like within their nature to attract people and bring them to Deen. To talk to people and bring them to Deen. That was the nature of this family. So as they would come, this Mewati is coming in, right? They will invite them. Not only invite them, first they will take the luggages, all right, you need to take your luggage, we'll take it. Right? Then say, no, I have to go for work. So, right, how much are you earning for the day? We will be earning, say, 50 rands for the day. All right, we'll give you the 50 rands. You come here. Now, he's noticing that, well, I don't have to work. I'm getting the 50 rand for the day. So why don't I take this bargain? Now, he takes the bargain and he teaches him deen for that day. See, the other way around, not paying a fee for learning, giving him a fee for learning. Okay, you're learning, so we'll give you a fee. But now see the enthusiasm. Now, when he's done that, when that person is gone, then he will stand up, make wuzu, and offer two rakat namaz of appreciation. Allah Pak, you honored me, that I could be of help for this person. See? You see the type of enthusiasm. When Allah Ta'ala blesses someone, then it is for some reasons that he blesses them. So much of khidmat, so much of work of deen. But that enthusiasm as though goya ke unki gharz hai, as though he needs to do it. Whereas it's supposed to be the other way around, that person was supposed to be looking for it. And now he makes it as though it is his matlab. So this enthusiasm, this urge, this enthusiasm for righteousness and for virtue to flow must be such like it's an impassionate thing. It's a thing that is irresistible. You want bil mu'minina ra'ufur rahim, harisun alaykum. He's anxious, anxious, as though his anxiety is such that he can't resist any longer. He can't resist. He wants to pass this on to you. Take this, please accept this. So this is the background that they're coming from, right? In the meanwhile, when Ismail Sahib is getting a little bit old, so he comes to Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and perhaps Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is preparing to go for Hajj. So he asks him for some time for seclusion, khalwat, that I want to talk to you in private. No, don't worry. This person here won't disturb, he won't invade your privacy, inshallah. So he says, now I'm aging. I'm not like young any longer. I'm aging. I can't do those spiritual exercises that the Sufis normally do, ashghal, long, long zikrs and all that. I can't manage doing all these things here. But now that I'm aging, I need to do something as well. That at least I didn't leave out this as well. This aspect of deen, I didn't fail. I didn't neglect this. And other aspects I've done, learning, teaching, dawat, I've done all this. But this line here, I didn't do it, or I neglected this. So as I neglected this, I need to cover up. But now I'm aged. So as I'm aged now, I don't know how to compensate for this. So Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he paused for some moments. And after a short pause, then he asked him, "Kya tumhe sifat-e-ihsan hasil hai? Do you have that overwhelming consciousness of Allah Ta'ala at every moment of your life, all the time, the overwhelming consciousness with His love and with His magnanimity and majesty, not just the presence, and not present just at namaz times, but at any given time, the presence of Allah Ta'ala." See, this is what is aimed at in this brief stay in i'tikaf. I remember when we used to go to Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh, then he will give you some primary lessons. What are you supposed to be doing? So that you know, all right, these are the parameters you must work with. So you know the parameters, then you know your path is quite easy, right? So one of the things that you should see at the time that you come in, he will say, sukut or sukoon, silence and mental calmness. Just be calm. Don't yet let your mind go everywhere. Now, I need to get this, I need to buy this for Eid. That kurta is by the tailor, and this person, this kurta, that topi, that tailor I gave, he didn't do it right. I must go and tell him, give him a mouthful. And then, you know what, my beard, I need to get it right by this Pakistani barber. And, this oil here, this gel here, I need for my hair. And that atar day I need to use for my Eid day, So, mind is calm, composed. It's composed, it's silent, as though there's physical silence and there's mental silence also. Both, you are silent, you are calm. When you are calm, as though you got no other concern. Your only concern is now Allah Ta'ala. Lillahi al-tafan khafiyya. Allah Ta'ala has got some special gifts. But that special gifts come up, when they come up, they come up when you are focused also. When you are trying and you're looking in that direction. But you're coming on and you're going away, you're coming, like you're playing games with Allah. You're coming on, and then you're going, you are focused, and then you're not focused, you're paying attention, then you're not paying attention, then this is playing games. But now you've got no other concern. Ja'al al-humuma hamman wahida. He's just got one concern, no other concern. I don't worry, I'm not concerned about the type of kurta, the color of the trouser, and the color of the socks. The socks is matching with the trouser, and the trouser is matching with the topi. No concern. Absolutely no concern. Ja'al al-humuma hamman wahida. He made all his concerns just one single concern. That I must get that overwhelming concern of Allah Ta'ala, that presence of Allah Ta'ala, and it must be a permanent feature. And I say this, this is about the greatest thing in your life. Because your marks and your results is in proportion to your acceptance, right? And your acceptance is based on your relationship with Allah Ta'ala. What is the type of relationship you have with Allah Ta'ala? That's the marks, and that's how you're going to be faring in the hereafter. So you need to get this right. When you got this right, everything falls in place. But you haven't got this in place, and your mind is in everything else, then you haven't got it right. You haven't understood this right. As though this relationship of Allah Ta'ala, special relationship of Allah Ta'ala, is like the main cable in a plant, right? The cable, electrical cable. Right? If that thing is connected correctly, then everything is going to work in the factory. Be it the fan, be it the light, be it the clock, be it the machinery, be it the vacuum cleaner, or be it the stove, or the fridge, whatever it may be, everything is working. Everything, the geyser, everything is working. Why? It's connected. But if there is some type of an interruption on that, then everything is going to be affected. There is an interruption, or there is the connection, but it's not done very well. From the three circuit, perhaps one is not working, right? So you're getting an interruption in some of the plugs or something because the mains are not connected correctly. But if there's a proper connection, everything is working very well. Every appliance and every accessory is working. Everything else can be forgotten. Everything else can be forgotten. But how can we forget Allah Ta'ala? I ask you, how can you forget Allah Ta'ala? He is the very nucleus of your existence, the very reason for your existence, and how can He be forgotten? Before you could come to this world, it was Allah Ta'ala. You came from Allah Ta'ala alone, right? أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّاتٍ. He brought you alone, right? And وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرِ. And the journey again ends up with Him. Starting off with Him, فَتَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Starts off with Him and ends up with Him. You can't go anywhere else. يَا مَعَشَرَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ إِنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَن تَنْفُذُوا مِنْ أَقْطَارِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You can't go beyond the zones of the earth and the sky. You've got some parameters, you've got some restrictions in your movement. Right? You can't go anywhere else. You came from Him and you're going back to Him. Right? So there can't be a point in time where you have forgotten Allah Ta'ala. You have to have Him in such focus that everything else can be forgotten. But Allah Ta'ala can't be forgotten. How can you forget Allah Ta'ala? So this brief stay that you got, this brief stay also, you bring all other kachumar into this whole thing here, the wedding preparation, how much do it, what must do and what must not do, by offbeat now. It's off the course. You came for a short little while, made for Allah Ta'ala, and then you brought all the 10 other things into this whole equation, then how are you going to achieve this? Shaitan works also in strange ways, you know. Sometimes a person is out in Jamaat, right? So whilst he's out in Jamaat, now he sees that the cat came and ate up all his chicken now. So he says, Amir Sahab, you know what? I had 50 chicken there, and I saw this dream here. Or ye khab jamaat ka khab hai. To lihaza ye sacha khab hai. I was in jamaat, I was in etikaf, and I saw this dream whilst I was there. So this dream is 100%. All my chicken is as I'm going now. See how he confuses you. He get away with the chicken, do everything away. Get Allah Ta'ala in focus. Get Him in focus. You got Him. There must be a reason why the hadith said that the one that remembers Allah Ta'ala and the one that doesn't remember Allah Ta'ala is like the living and the dead. You think Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is just giving examples of that? it was casual, na'uzubillah. But I respect the examples that he's giving. There is some lofty, exalted reason why he's giving this type of example. Imagine the example he's giving, like life and death. Can you imagine the example that he's giving, the simile he's giving? It's such a significant thing, like living and death. To have that focus of Allah Ta'ala at any time. But that focus must not be just a training. The majesty of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Allah Ta'ala, that level of love, that level of majesty, the consciousness of His greatness, that you're enhancing it, you're encouraging it. You're not talking, you're not asking your mind to go anywhere else. Just calm, composed and silent. So those altaf, those special gifts of Allah Ta'ala, when they come and they see you, right, they will come to you, inshallah. They will reach you. Because Allah Pak is seeing that this man is trying, he's composed, he is in that direction. When he's in that direction, that means he wants me. But you're showing Allah Ta'ala an attitude, Allah Pak, you want to come, you can come. And if you don't want to come, it's one of those things now, you know. You know, Allah Pak, I'm very busy now. Eh? When you want to come, you can come. You think Allah Ta'ala needs you. Wallahu al-ghaniyyu wa antumul fuqara. That you have to show that desperation to Allah Ta'ala. At any given time, Allah Ta'ala, I'm desperate. Musa alayhi salam saying, Inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. I am desperate for the good. Any good that you're going to be sending, then I am good, I am desperate. Musa alayhi salam made this dua, and Allah Ta'ala blessed him with three things. See, when you show that desperation and attachment to Allah Ta'ala, He'll make things to work for you. Gave him a wife, gave him a job, and gave him shelter also. Three things, what he needed, all got sorted out. But that was when he showed desperation to Allah Ta'ala. When we were at that place, you know, in Jordan, that they showed us that place where Musa alayhi salam came for the watering and all that. So that guide is telling us, but the South Africans that come to this place here, they say, you know, which was the spot where Musa alayhi salam made the dua and he got those three things right. So that's what they ask. So I tell him, so in future what you must tell them, he got it right, but he had to work for 10 years in Jordan. Eh? So see the desperation. You show the desperation to Allah Ta'ala. Inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. And Allah Pak wants that, you know. Amma yujibu al-muttarra idha da'a. As'aluka ka su'ali muttarri darir. I'm asking you, Allah Ta'ala, like that person is totally desperate. But you're saying, Allah Ta'ala, you want to give it, you can give it. It's alright. If you don't give it, also there's others to give also. Others can give you. So you're not showing desperation. But you're saying, As'aluka ka su'alid muttarrid darir. I ask you like the person that is totally desperate. He's got nowhere to turn. No person, no source, no alternative, no resource. He's got nothing. It's just you, Allah Ta'ala. It's just you that I got. I got nowhere to go. Nowhere to turn. وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. Those people that Allah Ta'ala had forgiven afterwards, those three Sahaba Kiram, after they had been boycotted, right? They had reached that point. وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. They realized with conviction that that's the only turning point. There's nowhere you can turn. We can't get this thing sorted out. If you want this thing sorted out, that whole Medina Munawara has turned against us. Nobody is talking to us. Nobody wants to have anything to do with us. So the only turning point, Allah malja'a min Allah illa ilay. When they reach that point, then Allah Pak says, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهِ. The gates of love, the gates of acceptance, the gates of embrace have opened up for you as well. But because you reach this, وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. So in this i'tikaf, this is the type of mindset we have to create. And then that mindset must be a permanent thing. It mustn't be just one day i'tikaf only. Allah Pak's relationship is not a seasonal thing, right? Like how a child or a youngster is working for an exam, right? So he's fired up and he's hyped up only for the examination period. So this is a seasonal thing. He worked and finished, khalas. After the exams, is over, right? So that's a seasonal thing. So the relationship with Allah Ta'ala is not a seasonal thing. It's not just a Ramadan thing. I ask you, when do you not need Allah Ta'ala? I ask you. Is there a moment, is there a second that you don't need Allah Ta'ala? You don't need your job, you don't need your wife, you don't need your children, you don't need anything. Most of the time you don't need it, right? Sometimes you need them. But is there a point, is there a second that you say you're free of Allah Ta'ala? Can you say that? So he is such that you can't detach yourself from. You can't separate it. He's inseparable. In your living is with you, in your death is with you, in your birth is with you. Then he is someone that is inseparable. You can't separate from him. So when you can't separate from him, then you need to learn how to attach yourself. وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. One person is going to meet his sheikh, you see. So, en route to meeting his sheikh, he sits down to rest under a tree and he hears the birds chirping and talking. So perhaps he was one of those people who could understand the language of the birds. So the one bird is talking to the other bird. Okay, this man is a strange person, very, very unique and a strange person. That he is going to meet his sheikh and his peer whilst his peer is dead. So he's thinking to himself, Allah Ta'ala, kya zamana aa gaya ke parinde bhi jhoot bolne lage. Allah Ta'ala, what time we have come through now, what era, that birds also began to speak lies. Alright, lies and false, charso beast, you know, they say in India, there's wrong and dishonesty, right? Can happen everywhere else, but in the birds, like, this can't be possible. So anyway, whatever happened, he came and he knocked at the door of his sheikh. So as he knocks at the door of the sheikh, he sees the sheikh alive. Now he seems to be worried, so the sheikh sees the frown on his face, some worry and concern. But what's your problem? No, nothing. Other but there is something. Something is disturbing you. So no, Hazrat, is what happened. I can't believe that the birds speak lies. They're communicating that you're dead. And I see you healthy and strong. So the sheikh asked, around what time this thing happened? You went through this experience, around what time? Say, us waqt mein Allah Ta'ala ki yaad se ghafil tha. At that time, I was negligent of the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. I was negligent at that time of Allah Ta'ala. This is what they were saying. And for me to be negligent of Allah Ta'ala is as good as being dead. See that remembrance of Allah Ta'ala is so, so important. Like you are non-entity, you're better off dead. Imagine Allah Ta'ala tells you you're better off dead than living if you're not remembering Him. And what is the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala and what is negligence? As khuda ghafil budan, what does it mean? When you talk about the world, today Mawlana Ibrahim read that article about the world and attachments and all that, and then how we need to connect with Allah Ta'ala, etc. Right? So, one is, what is the meant by the world? And number two is, what is meant by remembering Allah Ta'ala? Right? It's two things. See, he's just got the world, he's just tempted by the world. He's drowned in the love of the world. What do you mean by that? When you say drowned in the love of the world, in other words, the world has gripped him to such a point that the world and its temptation makes his decisions. It alters his moods, right? It infuriates him, right? You didn't do this type of business, so he's really disturbed about the whole thing. So the world brings about the moods. The world brings about the happiness in him. It brings about the changes in him. Everything that's material. Everything material brings about his moods, his happiness, his gloominess, whatever is material that influences him, his whole behavior, his whole behavior is influenced by the world. If everything is right, then he's happy, he's all right. And if anything goes down, then he goes down. It alters his mood. مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. They remember Allah Ta'ala, but they remember Allah Ta'ala on an edge. When things are working out, then they are with Allah Ta'ala. When things don't work out, فَإِنَ صَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اِطْمَأَنَّ بِي وَإِنَ صَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ انْقَلَبَ عَلَى وَجِهِ. Everything is world, the world is all right, then he's steady, he's stable, he's going into deen properly, correctly, everything is moving well in his life. But there's a small hurdle or something in his life, and that stability, that firmness, that istiqamat that was in him, everything breaks down. مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. I was just telling someone this afternoon that original Muslim woman was such, original, when she married that man, right, then she married him for all that he was. The thick and the thin, the hunger and the starvation, the prosperity and the constraint, for everything. In whatever condition, I'll stick with you. I won't separate you. You in constraints, I will prefer living in that condition. In prosperity, I'll live with you. In the sickness, I will be with you. In the death, I'll be with you. In health, I'll be with you. But I'm not going to separate from you. But when we come into this type of a Western culture, then the marriage is for the good days, prosperity. Is our relationship with Allah like that? That Allah, only when it's good, then I'm with you. And if not, then I'll have to look for something else. Do you appreciate such a marriage? If a woman marries you, but with this type of an understanding that everything is good, then we'll be with you. And the moment you are not so well materially, etc., then we will not be so loyal to you. We'll do our own things, you do your own thing, we'll do your own thing. But we'll be with you so long as materially you are steady. You're moving very well materially, you're good, we are with you. But the moment you're in constraints, then we are separating, jumping onto something else. So do we want that type of a relationship with Allah Ta'ala? Or we want that relationship of that original Muslim woman? Whatever it comes, I am with you. Constraints or prosperity, adversity or the prosperity, whatever it is, but I am with you, Allah. I'm not breaking away. مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. So the abundance of wealth is not what is discouraged. No. Sulaiman alayhi salam is the king of the time, right? But you couldn't say that he was ghafil of Allah Ta'ala. In spite of him being in all the riches, but can you show 1 second that he was negligent, neglectful? So that is not being attached to the world. Attachment to the world is that world brings about your mood changes. It influences your moods. It influences your behavior. It influences your conduct. You got it, then you are an obedient servant. And you don't have it, then you're breaking everything, every law. You go to the bank, do this haram, whatever. I need to be floating. I need to be respected in that class. I need to fit within that circle. For me to be feeling well, I need to fit. Otherwise, my moods go down. Now, this Ahlullah, they looked at life totally differently. Hazrat Ji Rahmah gave an incident. It says, the Khadim came and reported to Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi that priceless mirror, you know, very priceless Chinese mirror, that thing broke. Now, the Khadim was afraid already. That this was a very, very valuable property. Now, that zamana, whatever it was. In this zamana, I have to tell the students that mirror will not make you beautiful, eh? Please. Because tying the turban like this, 10 times the mirror, how it looks, how the face looks. So the mirror is not going to enhance your beauty in any way. What enhances the beauty, in short, is tahajjud namaz and taqwa. If you want to really become beautiful, then these are the two ingredients that makes a beauty: tahajjud namaz and restrain. Restrain anything that is displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. Whether it's anger, whether it is wrong temptations, whatever it is, but you restrain yourself and you'll get the beauty. Beauty means you not only will look well, but you'll be liked as well. But you got that taqwa in you, and number two, you are in tahajjud. Then you'll be just lovable. People will just like you for no reason, no apparent reason, but they like you. So anyway, the khadim is wondering to himself, okay, you know, this is a very, very expensive thing. It's not a cheap thing, a very expensive thing. They got it with a lot of difficulty. You know. Now imagine some priceless commodity of yours, someone broke the thing. That furniture, or that motor car, or your garden was done so well, and they messed the whole thing up, you know. The business was set up so well, everything was in its place, and someone went and ravaged the whole thing, even upset the whole thing. Right? So what happens to you? Now it's such a priceless commodity, you know, you don't find it, it takes years to get something like this, and the khadim, he was doing something and he broke this thing. Now imagine now, this equated with our conditions, right? So he says, alright, you know what I'll do? I will just give him a small, like a poetry, but in that poetry there'll be little bit of a dini flavor, you know. So when it's a dini flavor, I'll cover up nicely. So he says, as qaza, aynaya chini mishikast. It was takdir now, and takdir had it that this mirror had to break, you see. He's wondering now that kiamat would have come now. I'm going to catch it just now. Because it's a priceless thing. Imagine now, it's a very expensive thing, extremely expensive thing, and some negligence and broke the thing. How do you feel? Can you take it? This is dunya. See, we talk of dunya, attachment to dunya, this is what it's called. Have you got that attachment or you don't have that attachment? So the immediate response, that is the actual response. A sabru in the sadmatil ula. The first encounter, and you can be calm, composed, you don't get disturbed. That is the standard. Now you'll make out really this person is right or not right. So he says, the answer, as Sayyid Abdul Qadir says, khub shud, asbabe khub bini mishikast. Khub shud, asbabe khub bini mishikast. Well done, excellent. What are you saying? Imagine the first sentence is excellent. If not 100%. He will have damaged the whole thing. He broke the thing. What, you know, what you held in pride, what you loved, what you cheered, what you upheld, and when the thing broke, and you broke it, the first response is, excellent, mashallah, what a wonderful thing. And the reason, asbabe khudbini mishikast, that thing that was meant for self-admiration has broken down. That Mercedes S-Class is for what? It's for self-admiration also, isn't it? Can you say it's only for comfort? Can you say that? Spelled by? Spelled by is a sport. He can't let Mercedes down, no? You can't say it's only for comfort. It's for self-admiration also. The finishes in your house, that furniture, is what for what? It's not only for comfort. It's for self-admiration as well. Right? The shoes and the clothing that you're wearing, whatever it is, it's also for self-admiration. But self-admiration can be bordering with sin. Haram it can be. Is ajabatkum kathratukum, right? That help of Allah Ta'ala just breaks away with self-admiration. Laqad nasarakum Allah. That's why I say the help breaks. Laqad nasarakum Allah. What broke away from them was the help of Allah Ta'ala. So that help of Allah Ta'ala, that divine assistance can break away from you when with self-admiration. But these are all things of self-admiration. This is called the dunya. As khuda ghafil budan. It came, alhamdulillah. It came, it went also, alhamdulillah, right? Like how, not a good example to give, right? But must have something to put into these dense minds, right? When you ate, right, then you said, alhamdulillah. Didn't say, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. The Cape Towners say, alhamdulillah. Huh? Right? You ate and you said, alhamdulillah, right? But you had a good pass out also. You went out and passed out very well. Alhamdulillah. Won't you say that? Huh? So it came, you said, alhamdulillah. It went also, you said, alhamdulillah. So your mind will work like that. Alhamdulillah. It came, all right? It was a thing of self-admiration. I could have fallen in sin. And alhamdulillah, this thing went out. Hey, alhamdulillah, I'm no more in danger now. That food came, alhamdulillah. I got stuck there, it didn't go out. Then I could have been in danger. It went out, alhamdulillah. So your mind will work so well with alhamdulillah. You know, it came also, you're happy. It went also, you're happy. You know, your moods have not been changed by anything. Now that's called as khuda ghafil budan. That is called the person that is in zikr and the person that is not in zikr.